As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Hey, Kristen, how's it tracking?
With Carvana Value Tracker.
What else?
Oh, it's tracking. In fact, Value Surge Alert, trucks up 2.5%. Vans down 1.7%.
Just as predicted.
Mm-hmm.
So, we gonna...
I don't know. Could sell, could hold.
The power to always know our car's worth.
Exhilarating, isn't it?
Tracking.
Always know your car's worth with Carvana Value Tracker.
All right, here we go on a Thursday. It is Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you, and we have made it to draft day.
Huzzah!
Month and a half.
Those like poppers with like confetti in it.
You probably have some leftover from a kid's party or something. You could have brought them in.
As parents don't buy their kids the intentionally messy things. Those come from other people in your life. You don't, as a parent, buy your kid. I don't ever buy my kid slime. I don't buy my kid confetti. That comes from people who are like, not my house, not my problem.
How much confetti is coming out of those little tiny poppers anyway?
Too much, man.
You know, it can't be that bad.
Too much.
You're not bringing a whole box of those to the draft party
tonight? I don't like purchase glitter to be in that.
Well, that'd be a bad idea.
You know, not trying to make things a mess.
I'll say that just because Dusty's still over there. Mac is there. You got Drew. C-Dot is over there as well.
It's a party
who
over
at
there.
The station, like, Spec already sent the email to everybody, warning everybody to, you know, nobody to get drunk or anything tonight.
Did it say nobody get drunk, or is he stuck?
It did.
Okay.
It did. Out of the group that's sitting over there, is it Dusty, C-Dot, Mac? Who's most likely, Drew, who's most likely to get after it tonight?
He's most likely to get drunk tonight?
Get after it. Spec already sent the email. You can't get drunk tonight, Drew. Drew, you cannot.
C-Dot says Cody in regards to any of us. I don't know.
Plausible. I'm definitely in the top three.
I think it's Dusty.
Dusty says he's got to get up at 4. That's he does have to. He does have to wake up at 4. It's a Thursday night. It is a Thursday night. All I'll say is there were some listeners by pick 15 last year that were definitely well into their drink count. That's for
somebody.
Sure.
Somebody borderline shoved you to the ground.
Me?
Because they were like they. Specifically went out of their way to say they did not want a picture of you. That's why I was saying, like,
yes.
Metaphorically shoved you to the ground.
Gotcha. Yes. There was somebody that was a drunk jerk. That's true.
We talked about it on the show last year.
We did.
He was like, not you. You're like, okay. I mean, you could just say, you could just take the photo and delete it.
Yes. I don't want a photo with you either.
I mean, Dusty's like, he's talking about getting up at 4, and I'm not saying there's not a difference, but I got up at 5:45 today. Or
yeah, but
6.
He's got to be on by, you know, he's got to be awake and ready to roll and on the air.
Yeah, I mean, by the time I'm awake, it's like pack kids lunch. I mean, I'm like doing stuff. I'm not on the air, but I'm like actively in my morning. Mm-hmm. I don't like sit out on the porch with a cup of coffee for 45 minutes. I got to get up early too. I'm in the top three. You're the least likely. Gold refuses to drink around strangers.
That is not true.
Well, listeners.
That's also not true.
Well, in excess. So it's not Gold. He's pretty low on the list. I've never seen Drew have more than 2. He's not high on the list. Binkley. It's me or Dusty, probably. Let's just be honest. I don't have any
find
intention.
Find out who it is tonight at the landing.
If this were like basing it on like draft pick stuff, yeah, Dusty and I are like co-favorites for the number one overall pick. And then everyone else is like plus 1,000.
And we got 2 Royals games today leading up to it as well with the rainout last night, which I know we're going to talk draft real quick.
Oh my God. What were they doing last night?
They could have got 5 innings in last night.
At least.
It started at, the game was going to start at 6:40. What the heck happened? Somebody, let's just be real. Somebody dropped the ball there.
Yeah,
the weather app lied to them.
I mean, are they not using like better weather machines than us? Do they not have like central command at MLB that looks at these things slightly differently than you and I? Because you could have just stepped outside yesterday and said, we can play baseball. Like, that was it. You didn't have to do anything else or look at a radar. You could have played, I think, based on the way the Royals and Rockies...
Five or six innings,
based on the way the Royals and Rockies are scoring runs, you might have gotten seven in. you might have gotten the whole damn game, practically, by the time that thing finished. It was weird. Very weird.
So instead, you get a doubleheader tonight. There were a lot of people upset last night, though, that those that did make it out there. You're like, you get your ticket, you know, credit. Yeah, you get your parking credit. But if you were already spending money on concessions and stuff, obviously, it's unfortunate. It happens, right? It's not the first time it's happened. But that, I know there's people that were upset about that. But today, you're right. If you have a ticket to the first game today, you get it in for the second. It's single admission today. So imagine if you had the Crown Club tickets already slotted for today at 1 o'clock, you now get 7+ hours.
It's a good deal.
Of food and drink. That's a hell of a day.
That's a day. That, I mean, pace yourself if that's you today in the Crown seats, but yeah, you're getting more than your money's worth, at least on that end. As somebody who got my money's worth the couple of times I've been for like a regularly slated game, kudos to you if you're in there. But the draft is tonight.
Yeah.
The Chiefs will select at currently pick 31 tonight in the NFL draft. So let's go over the norm. Let's dream scenario, and then I want to know the things that would make you upset. Every year we go through the same list of like, here's the guys we definitely want, and here's the, you know, positions we want, and here's the players. Because I want to go through a couple of like, how would you feel if it went this way? From the players we want, I think we've made it pretty clear. You're interested in Walter Nolan. I'm interested in Derek Harmon.
James Pierce.
I'm sorry.
Man, I would,
Walter
way,
Nolan,
I,
Andrew Zen.
I'd be fine with Walter Nolan.
So would
there.
I. Yeah. Walter Nolan be fine too. We're thinking defensive line, either edge or interior. If you made me be the GM for the Chiefs tonight, defensive line is where I want to go. And honestly, there are probably four or five names I would be accepting of. Do I have my favorites? Sure. But there are at least four or five names at pick 31 that I would not scoff at. I'd probably start wavering at about the Tyleek Williams level of 31. That's about the range of like, okay, but nobody after him as far as like the ranking orders go. But the truth is, you and I have said this, we might be way off on some of these rankings. Like, I don't know what's happening. Right. We might be way off on some of these rankings. And Derek Harmon's really picked 51.
Yeah, Ian Rapoport last night had a tweet that was, you know, discussing just the uncertainty on the back half of the first round. And, you know, you could be sitting there tonight and someone gets picked 25th that everybody seemingly consensus was a second round pick. And then the guys that we all thought for sure were going in the 20s slide to the second round. Like, it happens every year, but it seems like the thought is that could happen even more this year. So, yes, out of the names, Pierce or Harmon or whoever, some of those guys could end up being second rounders and surprise a lot of people just based off of that. Look, you're right. James Pierce Jr. would be someone I would really, really like at 31. I'll tell you though, like if you're asking dream scenario, as much as I say James Pierce Jr., because I don't think he'll be at 31, if Josh Simmons was there at 31, I actually think that should be viewed as a very, very successful pick.
I agree.
On the surface, based off of if you believe the health will work itself out, then they're getting a guy that's probably a top 15, top 10 pick as far as a left tackle in the draft. That probably is not happening, but that's, if you told me at 31 and they're sitting there and he's available, I would be thrilled.
I guess here's the other question is like tonight, I'm also okay if they trade out. Like, I'm not going to come in here on the show tomorrow upset if at pick 31, the Chiefs trade their pick to, I don't care, just name whichever team's trying to trade back in, the New York Giants, so that they can select Jackson Dart or Sanders or whoever it is they have in mind, because I actually don't think it's the worst strategy, although I'm a little bit torn. I'm not totally sure the Chiefs need 8 draft picks. Now, 3 are in the 7th round, so that's there. And they've got 4, let's say, premium draft picks in those first 3 rounds. I'm not sure they need to acquire more draft picks, but the fact that they are without any in the 5th and the 6th round, and the depth is really balanced there at the end of the first round, top of the 2nd round, I'd be fine if they traded out too. Trading up, boy, it better be for the right damn player. Because if they just start going like nuts in the draft again and play themselves up, it's definitely the most fun scenario. But there are, how many players would you like be actually willing to trade up for? We'll look at that a little bit later in the show. Yeah. It's not particularly high. So defensive line, pretty much, there are a bunch of names we'd all be fine with a defensive line. Let's just be honest. Like, we have our favorites, Pierce, Harmon, Nolan at pick 31. Let me ask you about a couple of the positions, and let's go over a couple of the positions that I don't think are off the table, depending on the player and how we would feel. You'd mentioned offensive tackle. If it's Simmons or Connerly, we're going to kind of understand the thought process behind it. We're going to have more questions, but we're going to understand the thought process. There was a report that they had a call with Travion Henderson. What if it's running back again in the first?
Yeah, I don't like it. And here's why. It's a very...
Because you like Henderson.
Yeah, it's not the player. And I know some people say, well, if you just like the player, why does it matter where he was drafted? Well, there are plenty of running back options in the draft this year. The thought is that the guys in the third round aren't much different from the guys in the fourth round. If they want to spend a second round pick on it, I'm totally fine. Whether it's my guy out of Tennessee, whether it's one of the running backs that you like as well, I want them to draft a running back. They're going to draft a running back. I think it would be a mistake to draft one at 31. I don't think the gap from the guy that might be available at 31, because unless you think what's his name, Hampton from North Carolina, falls to 31, then we're having maybe a little different conversation, but nobody believes that's going to happen. After that, Henderson, Judkins, the Caleb Johnson kid.
Samson.
I keep going. What's that?
Samson. You're
yeah. Samson. Yeah. Samson will for sure be there at 31. I'm just talking about there's a chance that the three names I mentioned prior could be actually taken in the first round as well, because I think three running backs are getting taken. My point is, I don't think there's much of a gap, you know. And yeah, Drew, I don't think Henderson and Samson, there's a huge crater between those two. Even
is it only because of the Clyde thing?
It's part of my thinking for sure, and that's not fair overall with the draft process. I'll give you that. It's definitely part of it. I don't think in general this is an organization that should be spending a first round pick on a running back where they're currently sitting, when they need some help on the defensive line. They need to find a long-term answer at left tackle. Now, if you're asking wide receiver versus running back, like let's say Luther Burden or Travion Henderson.
Sure.
What's your answer there?
Burden.
I think
fans would all say Burden.
I think Henderson.
Fans would all say Burden. I just don't think the wide receiver impact in year one is coming from Burden. I would
no,
like,
the running back impact in year one would be immediate.
Could help me right away.
But I guess I'm playing both sides of the coin. I do think that they would have an impact, some impact in year one. Yeah, I would do Burden. I don't know that he's the right fit for the Chiefs. I'd be fine with taking him. I'm not talking about him the way the some other fans would love it. What about safety? What if it's like Eamon Worry? That's the only one that I can think of that would fall in that range that you could maybe agree to, if that makes sense. Eamon Worry do anything for anybody?
I think it's a solid pick.
Can I make one passing argument for it, or at least I could talk myself into it by tomorrow if we come in tomorrow and he does it, is that right now, and for the last 5 years, their defensive identity has been Chris Jones. That's the guy. They just operate everything around Chris Jones. The corners have changed. The linebackers have changed. The safeties have changed. Chris Jones is what kind of drives the motion. That can only happen for so many more years. If Eamon Worry, and he's athletic enough that it's possible, if he is their, and it's unlikely at the pick, but their Ed Reed or their Polamalu or their Bob Sanders of those eras, right? If everything runs through him, and I think you can do that at safety a little bit in the NFL now that people are playing back and you can just play him inside, outside, close to the line, I could maybe talk about it, right? I can maybe talk myself into it. I wouldn't love it. I'd hate guard. So for what it's worth, if it were safety or guard, safety. You and I have talked to guard a million times. That's the only one that would piss me off that I think is actually possible.
Guard doesn't make a whole lot of sense at all. It just doesn't. Trey Smith's going to eventually get a long-term deal at right guard. Your left guard battles Kingsley with Caliendo, and heck, even Hunter Norzad's mixed in there as well. I don't think you have to worry about guard being the pick in the first round. Safety, it's weird because I don't think necessarily he would be a bad player for this team. It's just I don't think that if we're talking about needs, while they have the luxury of a little bit of best player available at 31 versus some other teams.
You just don't think they much in the secondary because you're not super high on corner.
I feel pretty good about the secondary. I think they'll draft a corner at some point, but I feel good heading into the season with McDuffie and Fulton and Jalen Watson. Maybe I'm in the minority. I actually think that works, especially with the addition of Fulton. If they didn't sign Fulton, then I'd be telling you to draft a corner in round one.
I don't think it's bad, but I also, I view it as they could use more there. And so I'm okay. I don't think I would spend a first round pick on corner. I don't think I'd spend a first round pick on safety, but if those positions are available in rounds second, third, fourth, I am, depending on the player and their evaluation of them, I am interested in those positions there.
I believe once they brought back Mike Edwards, even though it's a one-year deal, that to me eliminated the chance of a first-round pick at safety, as far as what I think.
It sounds like they like Jaden Hicks a lot. If they didn't draft Jaden Hicks at all last year, I feel like Eamon Worre would absolutely be in the cards.
Yeah, you're probably, and they didn't like Hicks. Yeah, I think you're probably, the only question I have is, like, you're right, they brought back Mike Edwards, but they have, so for the entire dynasty run, they have had a dude at safety. So unless Hicks is that, and they've typically gone in the free agency market, not in the draft for that guy, Eamon Worre kind of looks like a dude to me, like the kind of guy you would put in that position. That's the only reason I mention him. There's no other name that, like, interests me in that position. I would still be trepidatious about it, in truth. I wouldn't be, like, over the moon tomorrow, but I also, like, wouldn't be on the ledge about it. Like, it's one of those where I'm like, okay, I'll live my life. But yeah, linebacker, guard, running back, I can't decide. Because I want them to be an elite-level offense again. And the quickest path to doing that is all of these wide receivers stay healthy, and then you have, like, a monster at running back. And I just can't convince myself that the offensive line is good enough to just immediately take that lead.
Deep down, I want them to get after the quarterback. And Charles Omeniyu is 1 year on his deal left. Karlaftis is due for a contract. Chris Jones will be a year older after this one, obviously. Mike Dana's, I think, technically got 2 years left, but really might be one. Felix hasn't developed to this point in time. So I think they need defensive line help. It's a very deep draft. So you might say, well, I can get that in the second round. That's why I wonder if they draft two defensive linemen. Honestly, one interior and one on the edge. But the winching thing will be, all right, I picked 29. I think the Commanders also are looking for an edge. So what does that do, right? Is, you know, we all know how this game is played. It could be pick 29 and the Chiefs are two away and they're thinking, all right, we're drafting an edge. Our guy's there. Commanders take them. They're like, well, we're not going to reach for a guy we don't really like it. So now we were going to draft edge. Now we will pivot to one of these other positions.
Can I say at pick 31, it's kind of hard for them to trade up because to those spots, to 26, typically, and I looked at the trade chart, typically in that spot, and we can look at it like firmer later for like if they went up higher, it'd actually be easier for them to go up higher. To go up 26, you know what that would normally cost you? Like a fifth. You know, the Chiefs don't have a fifth. They don't have a sixth. They would have to like, they'd be in the pick swap territory. Like, we're moving down in the third, but we're not losing a third. Or I just feel like it takes some more creative math on it. Not that they can't do it, but certainly could do that. Yeah.
913-586-7965. This text from the 660 says, running back has nothing to do with our offense being elite or not. That mindset makes no sense. Agree to disagree. I don't think it'll be the make or break, but they need to be more explosive offensively. And the Chiefs have even acknowledged they need to be more explosive at the running back position. Anytime you can get more explosiveness out of your offense, you're going to look to do it. And
running back is an quarterback, a wide receiver, tight end, sure. But
yeah, from a positional value. Yeah. But being more explosive at running back can lead to a more explosive offense.
I agree.
And it's not only the explosiveness, it's the pass pro side of it, which again, Trayvon Henderson is maybe the best running back in the draft in regards to pass pro. Like, he's one of the best. And even if he's not running a route, him being able to be there and support Jalen Moore.
They sure as hell needed that last year.
Being able to support whoever. You know, having that guy where you can rely, like, he can't go like solo against a Vince Wilfork type, but he can hold his own against a linebacker and give Mahomes that extra split second to throw that deep ball or to get the pass out.
We'll get into the Chiefs specifically again coming up in just a bit, but the news continues today to be all about what's going to happen with some of these quarterbacks and Shedeur Sanders.
He's the most interesting player in this draft tonight, probably.
Yeah. How far is he going to fall? I'll just tell you, sometimes the betting markets can give you a little bit of an insight on where people believe certain players are going to go. And 4 days ago, Shedeur Sanders over under to get selected was 8.5, meaning he was either going to be pick 9 or later on the over or 8 or earlier on the under. That number is now set at over under 21.5. Huge difference, huge swing.
Oh, of course, what do you mean, right where the Steelers pick at 21?
That's why the number is a number. But think about that. That's a few days ago, we were talking about could he go 9, and that was where the benchmark was set on the betting end. So that's a huge, huge shift. It's at this point, you're almost where nobody expects him to be drafted inside the top 10 anymore.
This is either the single greatest or one of the single greatest smoke screens of the last 10 years, or what's happening is teams have fallen out of love with him. Because there's reports that, you know, like the Saints, like you said, don't want him, or the other teams are hesitant. I will say some of the negative stuff, I still think goes back to what you said in the Colorado. And I'm more and more convinced all of these teams are going to regret not taking Sanders, because the petty stuff I'm hearing coming out of these meetings, I heard Todd McShay, he was on a podcast yesterday and he was talking about what he heard from three different NFL teams that all followed this same model. And what he heard was, is that he didn't care what these teams thought about him. I'm like, and I'm sorry, does he have to care about, like, does he have to kiss your ass in order to take it? The film is there. He's a confident player. I don't need my quarterback to kiss my ass. I don't need them. I don't need to like make you like me. I understand that's a part of like being drafted, but that shouldn't be the reason why you don't draft someone, in my opinion. That has been his mentality this entire time. Like, you want to talk about his arm strength or some of these other things that could be a problem. That's fine. He's got real criticisms from a football.
And that's
the ball
what we've
too
been
long
saying.
Those things. But like, they're holding the personal stuff driving his value down. Otherwise, right, he would be a top 10 pick.
And that's where it seems like it has gone, is more on the personal end with some of the stuff that's come out in the last 48 to 72 hours about him. Yeah, it feels like, what did he say that upset you? Or did you have a bad relationship with his father? Dion, like what happened? But if you want to just talk football in, and you're like, hey man, the guy, you know, doesn't do this well, those are fair criticisms. I'm not saying he's going to be a Hall of Famer and all pro by any means. I also don't think he's going to be one of the worst quarterbacks drafted in the last 5 years, which is kind of where like people are going off.
I think
it'll
be like the 15, like, you know, like a medium level starter in the NFL, if you made me predict right now.
Yeah. So like, I think ultimately for him, the one thing, if you're looking for a positive, you would say is, hey, the guy doesn't turn the ball over. Yeah, his turnover worthy, you know, turnover worthy plays were as low as you can get of any quarterback.
Accurate.
But there's other questions, right? Like there's other questions about him. There's a reason why he's not going to be a top five pick and be the first quarterback off the board. I still think, I don't know where you guys are at. Do you still believe he's the second quarterback off, or do you think Jackson Dart is going to end up being the second quarterback off the board?
I don't know. I'm too torn. Like, this is one of those ones, like, we'll talk bets later. This is a do not bet, because like, I'm just not sure enough what these teams think about Sanders from that perspective. I think there's like a 50-50 chance he's the second quarterback. I think it just depends on which team really loves Dart versus which of these teams have been negging Sanders as an effort to get him down to their pick, right? And there are some. Like, we know for a fact that the teams do this. Somebody is joining in on the let's trash Sanders camp because they actually do like him, versus these other teams, which I think are being honest about not being interested in him as a quarterback prospect. I was surprised from the beginning. I don't think Cam Ward is a significantly better football prospect than Sanders. Like, I think they both have different flaws, but they definitely both have flaws. And so I'm surprised that there's this level of separation between the two. And I feel like if I were a team, I'd be like, God, Sanders at 21? Okay, sure.
I really wonder if it's the whole, like, how he presents himself. I think...
Oh, he's confident slash arrogant, no doubt.
I think that is ultimately... Because I think you're right, Cody. There really is not much separation. And honestly, if you look at it, Shador was under duress more... Some of it his own doing, but he was under duress more than really any other quarterback, mm-hmm. and he still threw, like, 70% completion. Like, he was... In terms of accuracy,
the best
quarterback in college football.
I do think the Steelers are the most logical team. I think they'd trade up, maybe. I don't know. You'd always wait to 21.
I don't know if they're going to have to trade up anymore.
I know.
I thought,
maybe
at one point,
is that where everyone thinks he's going, the Steelers?
A week or so ago, I would have thought the Steelers would have had to trade up. But if you buy, and this is where it's tough to figure out, like, are you buying the rumors, or are you selling the rumors? And what's real, what's fake? I think now they may not even have to trade up for him. I don't buy, though, that Sanders has fallen out of the first round. I still think we're getting...
You've seen that today in a couple mocks that come out today. They don't even have him at all in that first round.
That would be... I mean, by the way, if all of a sudden he slid to Friday and we're sitting here tomorrow morning and Sanders is still on the board...
Oh, the Giants should take a...
The
do
Giants should, and by the way, all of a sudden that pick becomes... Like, that becomes a very good pick
the
second round.
I think you're sitting at 31 and Sanders is still there... The odds of the Chiefs trading out are significantly higher. Look, Dart, and Texline's missing Shuck, right? And his name keeps coming up.
Oh, the 26-year-old quarterback.
I mean, teams.
Yeah.
He is reportedly maybe the most pro-ready. I hope so. He's been in college like he's a damn doctor. He's about 30 years old. I hope he's the most pro-ready. Like, you know, it's always the same thing. I would never. Like, if I were a GM, if you were over the age of 26, you were off of my board at quarterback unless it's like the fourth round or later. Just pass. Like, I'm just not going to do it. Like, it's just an immediate no. But, like, everybody operates a little bit different. This is a really difficult, like we said at the beginning of this, this is a really difficult draft to produce because we all agree there are, like, four elite talents. Let's include Cam Ward in this because most people kind of put him in there too. Hunter, Carter, Genty. If you're feeling nice, Graham. The end. That's it. Everyone else is a dude. Everyone else falls in the same heavy wash.
Yeah, again, it's
so a predicting
starter
is gonna be
draft.
Very difficult.
Mm-hmm. It's a starter draft, not a star draft. Good news for the Chiefs. They probably were never getting a star at pick 31 right away, right?
Probably
their goal, with the picks they have and what Brett Veach has done well, drafting guys that can be starters for multiple years. The reason why the dynasty has extended the way it has, of course, Andy Reid and Mahomes, but it's because they have found starter after starter in the draft, and especially sometimes at normally you're like, you got to find them at premium positions, but in a weird way, by having some of these guys at non-premium positions, you're not overspending in free agency for a linebacker. You're not overspending in free agency, typically at some of these other positions, running back, because you're hopefully drafting the non-premium as well and finding starters. Trey Smith, obviously, is the prime example of that. Now, Nick Bolton, they ended up paying, but he's a homegrown player, right? They didn't overpay in free agency to bring a player in. That's the key. As much as I would love for them to go find the next stud edge rusher. I hope they do at pick 31.
Please.
I think we all do.
I hope they find TJ Watt at pick 31. Right. Yeah.
But in general, you know, they got what, 8 picks across, including the 3 seventh round picks that they have. If they find 3 guys that we're talking 2 years from now that have been starting already and they're part of this extension new era, if you will, after 2025, then that's a very successful draft. That's a very successful draft. That's what they've been able to do well. All right, coming up next, we'll obviously keep talking about what's going to happen tonight. Hope to see all of you at the landing. There's a few veterans that could get moved tonight or this weekend. We'll tell you who they are.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
You are next. All right, just getting started here on a Thursday morning. It is draft day in Kansas City. We'll be talking draft throughout our show today. Short one, though, because the Royals do have a day game today. Vern's going to take over at noon. We'll hand it off to him for his on-deck show.
two games coming your way today, a single admission doubleheader right here on 96.5 The Fan. And then later on this evening, Bink and Kristen O'Sara will take over for our draft coverage. Going to start a little bit later than we initially planned due to the doubleheader, but we'll have plenty of draft coverage this evening right here on your home for the Chiefs in KC Sports 96.5.
Yeah, we'll see you all at the landing tonight. Maybe the show will start a little bit later, but that's just more time to hang out with Bink, you know?
There you go.
More time to hang out with Bink. I am told he will be there, I'm sure, starting at like noon. Who knows? Bink will get there early. I wouldn't worry about that. You won't lose any time with the crew over there at the Character Concerns podcast, which is good. And of course, this is, you know, this is their biggest day of the year. You
their
do draft
Super
coverage
Bowl, man.
All year, man. It's Binkley said it's as big as every sporting event, not named the Super Bowl, I think. I don't remember what his argument
he
was.
He said it's bigger than the Masters. Again, different way of looking at it. The Masters is a far more entertaining, I still think, sporting event. It's not even close.
Oh, God, yes.
Now, if you're just basing off of like TV ratings, well, the NFL's king. It's going to outrate just about anything. So if we're just arguing TV ratings, yes, it is bigger than the Masters. But if we're just talking about like a true sporting event in terms of actual entertainment factor the day of, it's the Masters. Now, we don't talk about the Masters for a month leading up. He is correct. We talk about the draft for 3 months.
Sure.
That's true. So I think it depends on which way we're looking at it.
Well, that's partially because, and I think sometimes that's overstated, because the NFL is king and there's no other NFL thing happening before that. There are other golf tournaments. There are other things now, maybe not as many. I guess it's a bit of their offseason.
The reason why it works for the NFL.
The NFL's king. That's why.
Every NFL city, every fan is thinking about what their team is going to do.
Yep.
The Masters, A, you may just not be a golf fan, but even within that, like you got to have an attachment to a golfer maybe. The draft, we're in Kansas City. We're talking about what they're going to do at 31. They're having the same conversation in Denver today, the same conversation in L.A., Jacksonville, Chicago, et cetera. And that's why it happens. All right. Thinking about what could happen in some other markets, there's a few veterans that could be on the move today or throughout the weekend. We already mentioned the Kirk Cousins trade rumors yesterday. But Greg Rosenthal put out a list of what he's hearing, which are possible draft trades. He separated it by likely, maybe, and then kind of not crazy and also question mark.
Total unknown.
Yeah.
Maybe.
So here were the players he listed as likely veterans that could get traded over the next couple of days that could prompt a draft trade. One, Jalen Ramsey. We all know in Miami. That name's been rumored for a while. Miami's in a weird spot in his organization. Could definitely see Jalen Ramsey getting moved to a team that needs cornerback help, that wants to bring in a veteran and is willing to take on some of that contract. Jaire Alexander, another veteran corner. And then Kirk Cousins. Those are the three that are most likely, he says. And I would, Kirk Cousins for sure.
I pretty much think all three of those are getting traded. Yes.
The maybe categories is where it starts to get a little more interesting.
This is where a little juicy.
George Pickens, Dallas Goedert, Michael Mayer, and then Will Levis, which,
Pickens who's probably
trading,
right.
He's trading for Will Levis, but I hear him. If they draft Cam Ward, obviously they don't need Will Levis around.
George Pickens is in the last year of his deal, and they just brought in and paid a wide receiver to replace him. Doesn't he feel like a most likely to be traded out of the wide receiver category? Out of those four in the maybes.
Oh, I would rank him. It. Yes.
Pickens the most likely.
Then Goddard.
Will Levis,
sure.
Maybe.
I mean, think Goddard's getting traded.
Why Goddard? I had not heard his name much
The thought is they might be able to draft a tight end this year. They also don't want, they don't want to pay him as part of it.
He's due for a big pay.
They're obviously allocating resources in other areas.
Okay. All right. So those are interesting. What are the not crazy?
They list as not crazy. Tyreek Hill. They're not saying these people aren't crazy. They're saying
no. They're
not
saying
crazy.
It's not crazy to think that Tyreek Hill might be traded.
Mark Andrews, Trey Hendrickson, Travis Etienne. Trey Hendrickson, he gets traded tonight. Drew, are you gonna be all right?
He still doesn't
have
a contract.
Yeah, I'm gonna be okay. I think the likelihood of him actually getting traded is very slim tonight.
He just said it's not crazy. Here's what I will say: is if they trade Trey Hendrickson, they might as well just pack up and quit this year.
in terms of them being able to contend for a Super Bowl, 100%.
Nobody on defense. Yeah, I was about to say.
Nobody on defense.
It would be
I totally agree.
It would be a horror show on defense. It might be one of the league's worst
I don't think they're trading
defenses.
They need to go all in on defense tonight and tomorrow.
If they actually traded Trey Hendrickson, they would have to draft edge, D-line, edge again to try to supplement. Well, what they would be losing.
I'd rather draft Travis Etienne's brother Trevor than trade for Travis. Why am I out here shopping Travis?
Just for our sake on this show, I hope somehow Cincinnati drafts an offensive player tonight.
It would just prove our point even more that they truly don't think defense matters, and we'll be sitting here in November and everybody will feel sorry for Joey B because he has no defense, and we'll say, well, you told him you wanted offense, and they keep just going all in on offense.
The only one that makes sense, like if they draft Kelvin Banks from Texas, like if he's available,
tackle or whatever,
fine. Yeah. But anybody else, I am thumbs down. If Ashton Jeanty is available, do not pick him.
Can I offer of other people we've mentioned so far, we've already talked about George Pickens and whether or not we would like or hate that trade. Gold, you'd hate it. I'd be fine with it. Mm-hmm. Just real quick on, I did go and look up Travis Etienne stats. If the Chiefs could get him for one of their sevens, or let's just say fourth. Let's say the fourth. That's the pick they've actually got. Mm-hmm. Let's say their final fourth round pick, pick 123, they could get Etienne. Is he not the kind of running back they were looking for? So last year, he was not good. I'm not going to defend his year last year. The previous 2 years, he was 1,400 yards from scrimmage in both of the years. Receiving back, explosive, catches the ball out of the backfield. I mean...
So I don't like it. Here's why.
I'm just asking. So I'm not saying we have to do it. Or just like 25 years old, wouldn't you be intrigued?
Yeah, intriguing player. Here's why I don't like it. He's on his final year of his contract. So you're going to pay him this year. Okay. And you'd have Etienne with Kareem Hunt and Isaiah Pacheco and Elijah Mitchell and Carson Steele. Somebody would get cut at camp. Then at the end of the season, they would still be in the same spot as in not a single running back outside of Carson Steele under contract.
I guess
so.
I would have done this if they didn't already sign an additional, like to your point, had they not already brought in an additional running back, this makes way. If they had not brought Kareem Hunt back, mm-hmm. this trade makes way more sense. But if they bring, since they brought Kareem Hunt back,
I would just rather draft a running back that would have control on and making no money for 4 years.
ETN's not going to make money after this either. I wanted to toss it out there because like it is the style of running back.
He also has been hurt, hasn't he?
Still playing 15 games. Yeah, he was just bad.
Okay.
Last year, he was just bad. Like the 2 years before that, he was really good. Last year, the whole Jaguars team stuck.
I don't want to be paying. I think even this year he'd be $6 million. I don't want to be paying a running back $6 million in this backfield. No thanks.
All right. In the total wild card category, who's that?
He lists Jameson Williams, who we discussed yesterday, wide receiver from Detroit, Kayvon Thibodeau, New York, depending on what they do.
Quick on a guy taking in the top five, man.
Do they draft Abdul Carter or not? Do they want to build up the defensive line? Breece Hall, the running back with the Jets, thinking another running back. Kyle Pitts, your guy that people can't quit.
No, I quit him.
Oh, you finally did. Okay.
I told you.
All right.
We're done.
All right.
I'm not even going to suggest a trade for him.
Yeah.
I'm out on Kyle Pitts.
Yeah, we got to stop blaming every quarterback he's played with, and maybe he's just not the same player.
Allen Robinson, his ass out of the league, man. I'm done.
Then Anthony Richardson, because if they believe Jones is the starter or they draft another quarterback, Anthony Richardson, Daniel Jones, are they going to go into week one with both of them? I'm not sure.
Anthony Richardson was never going to be a Colt again. I think he actually could get traded. He's never going to be a Colt again the second he tapped his helmet and pulled himself out of that
game. The name that stands out to me from that list is Breece Hall. If you're Denver or the Chargers, why would you not give up 20 or 22 to get Breece Hall?
Why are you want to talk electric.
But
that guy's electric.
Someone would have to give me the argument. Why would the Jets want to move on from Breece Hall? He's going to turn 24 in May.
He makes no sense to trade.
He's really good.
He's not getting traded.
What's their thought that the what we've said here, which is running backs, there's plenty of them and they can just get some. They're a team that's a long ways away from winning and they just want to move on from. They'll draft a running back. They think
that would have to be it.
Because otherwise, I don't get it.
If you're the Chargers or the Broncos, though, I would say we'll give you the pick right now.
The Giants.
Breece Hall had good.
No, I was going to say the Giants, the Kayvon Thibodeau thing, they are legitimately. They win the award. If there was an award every year for a team most in the middle of nowhere, right? Like not in the losing camp, not in the winning, just stuck in the abyss. Congratulations, the Giants. They got all their quarterbacks are in the abyss. So let's say they take, like you mentioned, like an elite level defensive player. Wouldn't you want him paired up with Thibodeau? So now you're going to trade him. So like you're just back into the abyss. They're stuck in the no man's land of no man's land. The only player you like on their roster is Malik Nabers, and they got no one to throw him the ball.
Yeah, their running back's not bad. I don't mind Tracy. I think Tracy's pretty good.
He's fine. But again, stuck in no man's land. They are stuck in the most purgatory of purgatory out of any team in the entire league. Like they feel like the most 8-9 team.
They've always been that way. Like even with Eli, they were 8-9 and 9-8. Or 8-8, 9-7.
Those are an interesting list. I'm not going to, like, as you go through those, part of the question I ask myself is, if I were the Chiefs, would I trade for it? And most of them are no's. And then the other ones are like, who are the teams that should be interesting? Well, Kirk Cousins, you got to get that deal done before they pick at 21. Like, I think that deal has to happen sometime between now and 7 p.m. Because I don't think the Steelers, and they might still take a quarterback, But you want them knowing their quarterback situation before they start trading up, giving up other draft picks. Because they're not going to want to give you a draft pick for Cousins if they need draft picks to trade up for Sanders or need draft picks to trade up for Dart. They're not going to do both, in my opinion. They'll just start Mason Rudolph and live their lives.
Yeah, I don't know if you have to know before the draft starts tonight. We see this happen occasionally. Like, it could be when the Giants are on the clock at 3. It could be when another team's on the clock at 15 or 21, and we see the trade for a veteran happen. I don't think it has to be done before 7, but it could be a situation where we see a veteran traded and a team, you know, gets a player for the pick moving back or whatever in the draft. I mean, there's all kinds of different rumors that are out there about who could get moved. I don't buy the rumor this morning about Kirk Cousins and the Giants. They already have Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston. Then they're going to bring in Kirk Cousins on top of that. I mean, what the hell would be going on there?
If you okay, so I have a question for you. If you could trade your second this year and like a fourth next year,
who's second? Sorry,
Chiefs
second.
If the Chiefs traded their second and the fourth, would you, to get Breece Hall, would you do it?
No.
There's too many running backs.
No, I'm not trading
for running backs on this.
I'm giving up a second and a fourth for a running back.
I love Breece Hall.
Pass.
Yeah. Like, and that'll tell you something. Like, I think he's a tremendous player.
There's nothing you'd be able to give up. You'd give up that would be realistic.
You want to talk about explosion at running back? I mean, that's maximum, right? That's a guy who can break an 80-yard run any second. But
I think
still,
it'd be a big mistake to give up a second and fourth round pick for Breece Hall. Big mistake.
Yeah, I agree.
Deep running back draft. You know, I'm 2 years away from having to pay him.
Someone on the text line brought up the way that Andy utilizes running backs, too. It doesn't make any sense to have a top-tier running back anyways.
I don't know. They had Kareem Hunt when they used a running back. Great. This is the argument I always make. Yeah, recently how they used running back. When they had Kareem Hunt in his rookie year, Drew, he was the leading rusher in the NFL. They ran way more when they had an elite-level running back. They don't run a lot because the running backs aren't very good. You want to know the truth? The running backs are average. And so they don't run a lot with a bunch of average running backs. If they take a guy in this year's draft who's a stud, they'll run more. Like, I think it is relative to the running back that is in his system that goes with it.
All right, come up in 15 minutes. We'll go through a couple trade scenarios that do involve the Chiefs. We'll pull out the old trade calculator a little bit. Plus, we'll actually do our own mock draft finally. We've been going through all these other ones. We'll do one live on the air just for the Chiefs' first 3 rounds. That's coming up in about 30 minutes or so. But yesterday after the show, Dana Wright came in and she said, "Hey, I need one of you to come on my show. We're about to talk about what's going on in Jackson County."
I ended up spending an hour with him yesterday.
You ended up going on for an hour, and that's because, for those that didn't maybe see the news yesterday, there is an attempt to oust Frank White as the Jackson County executive. There are multiple Jackson County legislators that have been trying to do this. They have now asked Missouri Attorney General to investigate Frank White, and recall petition signatures were submitted yesterday. I'll let you handle this for the start, because you actually interviewed with Dana Wright yesterday, one of the legislators that's involved in this, and we can get to the stadium impact. This is a sports show, so we'll talk more about the stadium impact than some of the other stuff, obviously.
I did talk to one of the councilmen who are on a part of this, but they referenced to the AG, like, "Hey, investigate this guy." It was a 4-pronged thing. They said, Frank doesn't show up to the job. That was problem one. They just said he's never there. And the person who represents him in these meetings is like, "I don't know where he is." They claim he's too busy managing the Monarchs. But they just say he doesn't show up to job enough. They say he's not offering enough tax stuff, or that he's supposed to legally through the state as it relates to the personal property taxes. And then there's a couple of other things that they don't think he's doing a very good job on. It's a 4-pronged thing that they're saying. They are also simultaneously, there is a recall thing in an attempt to just get him kicked out that way. It's a full court press. They're trying multiple avenues to get Frank White out. I am convinced that part of this is because of the property tax stuff, him not working with the legislator, and all of these run-ins we had. This doesn't this sound very similar to the way that it worked from the stadium end, and that he has become almost impossible to deal with on that as well? And I think Jackson County realizes one very important thing, that if the Royals and the Chiefs are going to choose their stadium site in the next 2.5 months, that it will not be in Jackson County if Frank White's in charge. Yeah. Now, the councilman said, "It'd be hard for anybody based on the current mess of Jackson County to get both the stadiums in there." But, like, I think if Frank White's there, it can't happen.
Yeah, and then you had yesterday in a story from the Kansas City Star, Missouri's House Speaker was quoted as saying, "I think more and more it's looking like Jackson County and Clay County are going to have to split the teams to make the deal work for both teams to stay in Missouri." That's the Speaker of the Missouri House saying that if you want to keep the Royals and Chiefs in Missouri, it's not going to be with them both in Jackson County. That means why there's maybe some momentum right now. That means the Royals probably in Clay County, and then the Chiefs in this scenario, if you want to keep them in Missouri, would stay at the Truman Sports Complex if they don't go to Kansas. This is still why I still believe splitting it one on one side of the state line, one on the other, is still my guess on what happens, Cody. But that's the Missouri Speaker of the House, who's heavily involved, obviously, with some of the financing conversations at a state level, telling you that, the one county supporting both teams thing, probably not happening anymore.
If we did a power ranking of the five least popular people in the city right now, is Frank White on it? Is Frank White one of the five least popular figures in the city right now?
100%.
He has a statue at the stadium.
Yeah, and he's ruined his legacy. That's unfortunately what's happened for him. With decisions he's made on his own and his situation he's created away from the sports stuff as well. So, of course he's on that list now.
I think they legitimately understand that if they want to keep, I think specifically this is about the Chiefs, but if they want to keep the Chiefs in Jackson County, they need Frank White not holding things up anymore. And the problem is what they're claiming in this request to the AG. And by the way, it was like, hey, man, how long will it take for you guys? They're like, we don't know.
Time. Who knows?
So the recall thing would take longer because, like, you have to get it funded and you have to like recount. There's like just a million things. It's like a long process. The AG thing, like, I mean, based on history, they had like an attorney general in St. Louis who got kicked out via, I don't know. It sounded like the thing from Braveheart. They're like talking prima nocta. I don't remember what the name of the Latin term to get the person tossed off of it is now. But essentially it was, here's the term that an AG who's kicked off of, it was a sheriff deputy here locally. So like a public figure who's been voted on, they can kick out. Where essentially some of them move pretty quick, like inside of a week or two. Some took a little bit longer because you're essentially asking the AG to investigate this and fire them for cause. Kick them out, right? So I don't know if they'll get it done in time, but it is wild.
It's getting very interesting. Getting very, very interesting. Knowing that the timeline for the Royals, the latest timeline at least, I should say, is June or July, that they would like to make their decision and have an announcement ready. So if that's true, if that's actually the real timeline, although we've heard multiple over the last year and a half, 2+ years, then time is ticking for sure.
That's the other thing. It's like, do we believe the timeline this time? We've been given a few from the Royals. I think that clock's almost up. Like, I mean, clock's almost up on making the stadium decisions. How would you feel about a Jackson County? Like, let's say they built a new stadium at the old Kauffman site and the Royals were in Clay County. Can you live with that? Or would you prefer new stadium, Legends, Royals, Clay County? Let's say either one in Jackson County or zero. What's your preference?
Well, so, for the Chiefs, I think a new stadium is the only path. I don't believe in a renovating Arrowhead.
I know a lot of people
disagree with me on that. We've given our reasons over and over and over. But I would prefer the Chiefs getting a brand new stadium. I don't think renovating that stadium makes any sense. I understand the emotional attachment to the building, but you can't make emotional decisions only. So I would say if you told me they were building a new stadium, then I don't care if they stay in Jackson County. I feel like we've made it very clear since this whole thing started. You live on the Missouri side. I live on the Kansas side. My entire life, I've gone on the Missouri side to see pro sport events. Would I want the Royals, would I want one of the teams on the Kansas side? It'd be great, sure. But I really, like, deep down, as long as they're staying in Kansas City, I truly don't really care. Like, there are a lot of people that are acting like they'll never go to another game again if one goes to this state side of the state line or stays on this side of the state line. And, like, I'm not saying that there aren't some people that will hold to that. I still think a lot of people that say that are people that, frankly, haven't been to a Royals game in 5 or 10 years anyway.
If you're looking to see a new stadium, by the way, you can come with us on the Cody and Gold road trip. We're going to go see Hammonds Field, which I'm told is very nice. I've never been, to be honest. Saturday, May 3rd. If you'd like tickets, we got $10 tickets available at 965thefan.com. We already have 150 people scheduled to go on this trip to go watch Jack Caglione hit. He had a couple more hits last night. He's up to 300 and a 900 OPS in AAA. AA is where he is currently stationed for. So we're going to go watch him play baseball in Springfield Saturday, May 3rd. Just got to make it another week, and then we'll get to go watch Cags play some baseball.
Yeah, I'm excited to head down there. And yes, keep on hitting, but let him keep hitting this well for at least another week and a half, please. May 4th, you want to call him up after May 3rd. It's May 4th. Go for it.
He can do Star Wars Day in AAA in Omaha for all. Like, cool. Sounds good. That's fine. But I still feel pretty good about it. Just history is on this. And I heard JJ talk about it in the pregame the other day. And I don't know if I'd call it fully terse, but he was just like, he's got to play a while. Like, the same notion. He told us between 100 and 500 at bats. He's at about 80 at bats for when he would maybe 100, 500 is a big range. And I'm not saying that's not the range before he would even get promoted to AAA, a step he had made very clear is a part of their plan. So I'm fully expecting to go watch Jack Caglione play Saturday, May 3rd in Springfield. 150 people have already purchased tickets. We're looking forward to a great time down there.
Cody, myself, Drew, Dusty, we're all heading down there as well. So hopefully we can hang out with you guys in a couple of days at this point, I guess. And obviously we hope to see you guys tonight at the Landing as well in Liberty for our draft party. Some good news happened last night. I think we've discussed this around college football in particular, but it impacts every sporting event. I don't know. You guys, all three of us have YouTube TV?
I do.
Is that right?
I share with several family members. Yeah. The family one really cuts the price down.
So all three of us have YouTube TV, and we've talked about the multi-box and multi-view, which is a great feature, but there's some limitation, right? You can't customize it. And there's, for whatever reason, some games it lets you do it and view multiple games, and in others it doesn't. Well, I saw this from, I think it was Front Office Sports initially, that had the news where YouTube TV announced they will allow customers to build their own multi-view options, including both sports and non-sports content. So rather than getting that predetermined option, you'll be able to create your own version. So maybe there's even a time where you want a sporting event on one and you want the other box. Maybe there's some breaking news happening, I don't know, and you want to pick your favorite news platform on the other. Maybe that's something that you can do as well. But this should have happened a while ago, and I'm glad. I don't know if this will be ready for the fall. That's when it makes the most sense.
What the hell took so long? Like, sometimes this isn't even about, like, I don't always want the multi-view, but the thing I like about the multi-view, let's say I'm watching, like you said, I'm trying to keep an eye on the, it doesn't matter, I'm keeping an eye on the weather, or I'm watching a rerun of Seinfeld. If I'm trying to keep an eye on a sporting event, let's say the NBA playoffs tonight, but I'm like, all right, it's the first quarter, I'm not getting all the way in yet, I'm not fully invested yet, I want to be able to flip between the two without having to guess whether there's commercials, giving me the full ability to do multi-view, this is what we had. I had this 20 years ago with Picture in Picture. Mm. I'm not totally sure why they took it away from me, and now they're pitching it to me like it's a new idea. I had this on a TV.
You get four, though, man.
I know, but like this already existed, so like I'm glad it's back. I'm not here to say no, but I also just like for, like, let's say baseball in, because right now it's like if I want to watch Red Zone, right? Well, I got to go there. But now on YouTube TV, you're telling me I could have Red Zone in the corner, and I could have the Royals going for a pennant or going for a playoff spot, playing an AL Central team, and I could have those personally chosen to split it. If I have them both on YouTube TV, they're not on that one, but maybe they're playing Fox that night, Big Fox. Yes, 100% in. This is like the layup decision, right? What's the most likely built multi-view for you? You're going to have more than just sports on there? You think it's just a sports thing?
It'll be sports. So mainly it's going to be a college football thing on a Saturday, right? That, and you can be more specific with what games you have. That's probably what I'll use it most for. I don't know about you guys.
Yep, I'm the same way for college football in particular, because there's times where certain games don't have multi-viewed with others, and it's like, but I, like, there happened multiple times with Kansas for whatever reason last year. I wanted to put the Kansas game on at the same time as the Missouri game, and they just wouldn't have them in the same multi-view box. So that being up there now is nice.
Yeah, it's incredibly obnoxious when you think about it. You're just like, okay, can I not? Like, I don't know why it wouldn't allow to build it from the beginning, but again, I'm not here to look a gift horse in the mouth. Thank you. Thank you, YouTube TV, please.
All right, up next, let's go through some trade scenarios as far as moving up from 31. What would it actually cost? A lot of people have said, hey, well, they should trade up to 21. We'll go through what it would actually take for the Chiefs to move up in the draft. Also, if they traded back, what they could get in return. And we'll do our actual show mock draft for the first time. We've been going through all the other mock drafts. We'll do a quick 3-round mock just for the Chiefs picks next.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today.
And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.